told us judgment had to come, and still we rejected him. And God did exactly what he said he would do, and we deserve to be here in exile. Isn't that a little different from what we hear today? Long ago, church far, far away. I visited a mother whose son was in prison. I forget the fine of his son. He wasn't a mass murderer or anything, but he deserved to be in prison. And the mother said to me, she said, "Pastor, my son is still born. If you would write a letter to the church, maybe they would let him go." What do we hear today? Oh, the injustice. How our people have been wronged. We're owed something. We don't deserve this. It's my spouse's fault. It's my parents' fault. How could a loving God let this happen? What is the need? Over and over again, the list of the sins of the people. And he could have been harsh. He could have been judgmental. They did this, and I'm living in exile. But he's thinking this. We others deserve what they get. We're just experiencing collateral damage far. But we struggle with the same temptation and the same problems and the same issues that they have. And maybe in different ways, maybe in different degrees, but we're all human. And the difference, those who struggle without Jesus, they have no answer. We struggle, but we know where to turn for the answer. But we all struggle. Daniel is kind of honesty before God, seeing ourselves as participating in the sin of God. Bottom line, we're all supposed to live in the holy and just God. All of us are living in the first point. Now, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God in behalf of the holy mountain of God, while I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I had seen previously, the vision previously, that was the last time that God sent Gabriel to explain Daniel's vision. Then Gabriel came to me in my extreme weakness about the time of the evening offering, and he gave me instruction and talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed, so give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision." Let's pause there. Notice when God answers Daniel. When God answers Daniel. While Daniel is praying, he's extremely worried with all that's going on around him. 60 plus years of uphill battle living for God in a pagan society. Where is God in his cure? And we can relate to how Daniel feels, right? Yes. God answers Daniel while Daniel is still speaking and praying and confessing and supplicating. Daniel's going on and on in prayer, and the command has already been given. The plan is in place. Events are already in motion. God is in action. The cure is already in place. Second, notice how God regards Daniel. How God regards Daniel. Gabriel is sent to Daniel to tell Daniel that he's what? Highly esteemed. If you were getting pounded by the world, would that help? Just a tad? To hear the great and awesome God tell you that he sees what you're going through, he hears your prayers, he's already working, that he's highly esteemed you? That's a huge standard of vision. Israel began, with clouds and snow, even in times of distress. Then, after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war, desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and the grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until the complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Now there's a lot there we don't understand. Wow. God always answers prayer. Sometimes the answer is what? Yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's wait, right? And sometimes God just blows them off. Okay? On the back of your sermon notes is a chart that may help you to kind of visualize this better. There are five observations that we need to make in order to get a grasp on this answer. First, the meaning of the week. At the core of Jeremiah's prophecy, what Daniel is reading back up in verse 2, I think reading Jeremiah, the 70 years of exile for God's people, at the core of that prophecy, the reason for the 70-year judgment was Israel's failure to what? Obey God. Right? And Daniel says that in verses 11 and 13. He says, all this calamity, this exile, this judgment, God poured out on us because we didn't obey God. To us through Moses. Moses instructed the Jews to plant crops for 6 years. And in the sixth year, God would give them a bumper crop that they were to save so that they could let the land rest during the seventh year. 6 years of growing, 1 year of rest. But instead, they had gotten greedy. They had disobeyed God. They didn't trust Him for His provision. They kept the bumper crop, and they went ahead and they planted it in the seventh year. And they did that for 70 cycles of 7 years, for a total of 490 years. Okay? So God sends His people into exile for 7 years. 1 year for every 7 year cycle that they disobeyed Him. In verse 24, He labeled those 70 years as 70 weeks. And remember Star Trek 2, Wrath of Khan? Okay, Spock says to Kirk, if we go by the book like we set up the Sabbath, hours would be like days. Right? Remember that? Spock goes on, the ship can't be repaired for days. But what he really means, talking in code, is the ship can't be repaired for hours. Are like years. 490 years breaks down to 70 times 7 periods of 7 years. Just to put that more easily, 1 week equals 7 years. Is that point? 1 week, 7 years. Second, there's a definite starting point to all this. Verse 25, the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. According to Nehemiah 2, the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem was issued in the 20th year of the reign of King Artaxerxes, which doesn't mean a whole lot, except that we know what that date was. God preserved it for us. Herodotus, who is a well-respected historian and a contemporary of Artaxerxes, famous historian from those days, Thucydides, another famous historian from those days, they kept a historical record of Artaxerxes, including dates. So why on your sermon note there you see it is dividing up these weeks through the squiggly lines.